That's right. That was me humming in the background. Sorry about that. Thank you very much, John Paul. I am tickled to death to be here today. It's good to be awake and to be alive. Do you agree with me? If you're feeling good and you're breathing, it's a good day, right? I want to thank everybody for taking time from your busy schedule and maybe from your recovery from the holiday visitations. Thanks for joining in today. It's good to be with you. This program is called Health Essentials. I am your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. And let's just start off with a order of business. You can take everything that I'm saying with a grain of salt. They're only observations that I'm making. But yesterday, a woman told me a story, and I did not know that her mother passed away 4 years ago. But she relayed to me that she knew something was wrong, went to the doctor, found out she had lung cancer. The doctors recommended radiation therapy, and the fluid buildup in her lungs was so great. And I had the daughter repeat the dates to me, not to be morose or morbid, but it's just astonishing how many people I've seen have so much fluid, because that's what radiation does. It will destroy healthy tissues. And of course they said, well, we can't do the treatments because you have too much fluid. But she passed away probably close to the 3 week mark. If I miss that by a few days, forgive me. But I just hate stories like that. I just think it's sad. Now, in saying that, if you're 40 years of age, or 50 years of age, or 60, then we can just break it down. What are the top causes of death in the United States? Well, I heard a report yesterday morning on the radio saying the hands down, the most expensive disease to have, the one that just sucks all the dollars, is going to be diabetes. And more money is spent on that. Of course, I'm afraid to say what number two is, but to make a long story short, if you have diabetes, you're going to catch just about every other disease process that there is. So if you want to say the number one cause of death in America for poor health is going to be heart disease, you'd be right. If you wanted to say that having a stroke is no fun, I would agree with you. If you say to me that I would just soon live the rest of my days without a wicked form of cancer, well, then I would agree. Well, what if it's the other form of disease? What is one of those neurodegenerative diseases such as severe dementia or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's? And there's a whole bunch of other ones, but there's like an 80% chance if you're 40 years of age, that's what's going to get you. That's what you're going to die from. You've got two options, folks. Do nothing. Just pretend that you're bulletproof. Don't even try to be a good student of health so you can avoid these. Just wait till you develop them and then take the radiation treatments for lung cancer if that's what you want to do. I would suggest to you that if you can see the writing on the wall, just ask yourself the question, is there any way that my health can be even better than what it is right now? And if you're honest, you will answer yes. Even if you tell me that you're in perfect working order, can you be improved upon? Can you be better? Yes, the answer is yes. I had a very healthy young man come to see me yesterday. I'm going to say that he is probably the last individual that I will consult with and examine and give recommendations to this year. Unless something happens today that I have an emergency patient, he will be the last one that I've seen this year. Very healthy, but he said, I want you, and this, I know the request is just super simple, but he said, I just want you to check me and tell me what you think. So I asked him a few questions, and this is the one thing he said. I'm not laughing because this is funny, but it's in, on some level, it's like, oh, really? Is that the response? Well, this is what he told me. He said, I have felt, and this guy is extremely athletic. If he's listening, he knows I'm talking about him. We'll just call him Boom Boom. Anyway, that's a nickname for a famous tennis player. Anyway, make a long story short, he said, I started experiencing this bloating in my stomach. He's the most physically fit person that you're going to meet, folks. Maybe you're married to a professional volleyball player or tennis player or athlete. You're probably not going to be as physically fit as this guy is. But he said to me, I started experiencing bloating in my stomach, but when I gave up wheat, all the bloating went away. And so we put it to the test. I used a homeopathic challenge test. We went through all the organs of the body, and nothing showed up until I got to the stomach, and that was where the weakness and the inflammation was. What's the solution? He's just avoiding wheat. And there was one more recommendation. We won't go into that, but I just thought to myself, wouldn't it be nice if every case was like this? A person that's actually seeking to improve themselves. So if we have an NFL favorite football team, you can say, well, my favorite is NFL football. I'd say I like it too. Well, what do you prefer, offense or defense? Well, you might have to practice a little bit of both of those sides of the line if you're trying to improve your health, both offense and defense. But it's a very tough strategy to wait until your body completely breaks down before you start changing or improving yourself. Anyway, that's one point. Second order of business. And this is just simple information, but it's been asked of me, what would I do by a listener? What would I do if I had a lot of swelling in just one leg? Or maybe I could rephrase that. What if one of my legs experiences a lot more fluid and swelling and edema than the other leg? Okay. So just this is for your consideration, okay? One of the simplest technique, and of course, here's the basic assumption that I want to make. If I say that your heart is one of the most fabulous pumps in the human body, you'd say, well, I knew that. Everybody knows that the heart pumps blood to all the organs and glands and tissues. I'd say, great, we're in business. So if the heart's job is to make sure that when the atria contracts, it's going to send deoxygenated blood into the lungs, where it's going to pick up fresh, oxygen-rich hemoglobin and red blood cells. You would say, well, I know that already, Dr. Morgan. Okay, good. Well, when the heart contracts and the ventricles pump out this oxygen-rich blood, it is trying to push oxygen-rich blood all the way down to your toes. Well, you'd agree with me on that. Now, how long does that take? Well, I don't know exactly, given your circumstances, but I can give a guess that if you have fluid retention, that's probably going to take about 30 seconds for oxygen-rich blood to make it from the heart all the way down to your toes. What if you don't have fluid retention? Maybe 10 seconds. I don't know. Just a guess. But it's the job of the muscles and the veins to actually contract and massage and squeeze or pump, or whatever you want to say, to get that fluid back to the heart. So your muscle tone has something to do with this. If you have significant fluid retention in one of your legs or your foot or your ankle, then we need to consider that the venous system is just stressed to the max, and the veins are probably leaking fluid into the interstitial space, thus edema and fluid. Well, what do we do about that? Let me give you several ideas. And I know if you have this issue, you know in your heart, from my heart, that I'm trying to help. So don't take this as being critical. Take this as a good suggestion. So let me just lay them out for you. One of the simplest things that you can do is just simply elevating the leg. And what it may take is you're trying to get the leg or the foot above the heart. So ideally, let's just say that you'll lay on your back and you have a comfortable place on the floor to do that, or on the couch or in the bed or maybe even a recliner. But I think if you want to get the leg probably 6 to 12 inches is what I would aim for if it were me. Because you want to get the foot at least 12 inches above the heart, because don't streams from the mountain flow downhill? Of course they do. So all you're doing is you're taking maybe a weakness that has developed over time, and that's no fault of anyone's, it just happens sometimes. But we're taking that weakness and we're trying to help the body drain the excess fluid, so elevating your foot and your leg above your head and your heart for maybe 30 minutes, 2 to 3 times a day, depending on the individual's severity and how motivated they are to change and how much they're willing to do to save themselves from future trouble, that would be a good thing to do. Now, if you have a wife that cares a whole lot about you, you might ask her just to very gently, I got to make sure I describe this slowly and gently, lest someone do it inappropriately and I get lots of complaints. I'm not saying that you're squeezing the foot and the leg like a tube of toothpaste, but in a roundabout way, you're trying to go down to the foot and gently squeeze and massage up toward the knee to help squeeze the fluid out. If you don't know how to do that, just get on YouTube and type in lymphatic massage while the leg is elevated. You'll get the idea. But I would say if your leg is elevated, if we can do some type of a lymphatic massage, oh, that would be a move in the right direction. Now, it has not been my experience that walking on a treadmill does a lot to correct that. I wish it did. But elevating your leg above the heart for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 2-3 times a day, depending on the severity, that's going to give you a big bang for the buck. If you have somebody like a husband or a wife that's willing to do that, or maybe another relative or a friend, if they can just gently kind of pump and squeeze that fluid back toward the heart, that's going to help a whole bunch. I've always been fond of castor oil, so I love the idea of rubbing castor oil on any area where you have fluid buildup. Wool socks, those are my favorites. Merino wool, that's the most comfortable one. What am I wearing right now? Merino wool socks. I love them. Can't even tell they're on. Feel like my skin almost. Next point, we have got to greatly stimulate blood flow to that area. Maybe a mini trampoline or a rebounder. That I've seen that work before. I really have. Now, I can't look you in the eye and tell you how much that's going to be improve you, but you've got nothing to lose. I mean, even if you went to a garage sale and bought one for $5, that probably is not going to be wasted money. But probably 10 minutes a day on a rebounder would probably go a long way. I've seen them for sale at local sporting goods stores for $37. So they're not ultra expensive. Or that's what eBay or Amazon.com is for. So a rebounder, yes, I know, I've seen them for sale for $2,500. I don't think you need one of those. That's just my opinion. But if it gets the ball rolling in the right direction where we can repair the venous vessel tone and try to get the valves in better working order, then I would say that would be very, very good, and that's been shown to pump the fluid. Another strategy that I like very much is I love the idea of cold water therapy. I know it's brutal, folks, but you're going to have to put the stopwatch this one. I don't care what a person says about what it feels like. I know it's bad. I've seen people say words they probably shouldn't have said after putting their foot in cold water. However, if you do this day in and day out for 10 minutes twice a day, just think of a bucket of ice water. Submerge your foot and your leg in there for 10 minutes. That seems to be the magical number. Now, is that written in stone? No, everything's negotiable. If you're getting great results, but I can tell you, it can feel pretty bad within about 10-15 seconds. And there's no shame in wanting to take your foot out of it after 30 seconds. I've been there and done that before. But I sure do like that very, very much. 10 minutes twice a day. Another thing that I've seen really work wonders is taking a hot bath with Epsom salt. There is a compression sock that usually athletes wear. It's, I think the brand is called Skins. Man, that can be a game changer. So, if you're taking notes and you're hearing what I'm saying, Then why don't we go with that plan and then report back to me and tell me exactly what you think. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I cannot get rid of this cold. I don't know if it's allergies or a cold. I have
It is. No, it's an allergy. You're allergic to your husband. You're going to have to get rid of him. Sorry.
Oh, I don't think he'd appreciate that.
I was just joking anyway. Sorry. Is he listening right now?
I think he is
he,
somewhere.
you mean he is? Oh, well, sir, I am really sorry. That was very inappropriate. So tell me where's the cold located? Chest, nose, face,
Yes,
sinuses?
chest and throat and nose. I've had a sore throat and my chest, the cough is sounds really deep in my chest, and that's basically it. I have drainage.
What color is it?
Oh, well, it's been clear.
Well, where's the drainage coming from? Is it coming from your lungs back up, or is it coming from your nose or your
It's
sinuses?
coming
And
from my nose.
do you think that maybe when you sleep at night, it's leaking down into your lungs and that's making you cough a
Yes,
lot? Okay.
definitely.
But it's clear, right?
Right.
Not yellow,
Well,
not green.
I'm, no, it was yellow Thursday, which today's, yeah. Thursday, I felt really bad Thursday, and it was, but it's clearing up now.
How long have you had this cold?
Well, it's been on and off, okay? It is, let's see, for the past few months, I've had a sore throat, and then I get over it, and I'm fine, and then it comes back again.
There is a gland just under the sternum, or if you want to call it the breastbone, that's fine too. This gland is absolutely hands down the largest gland within or in the immune system. It's called the thymus. You ever heard of
Okay.
that?
Yes.
Okay. Your thymus gland has a tremendous responsibility. As a matter of fact, the last time that I checked, it is completely responsible for the integrity of the lungs. So whatever the immune system does to overcome an upper respiratory tract infection, the thymus is completely in control of that one. Totally. Has seniority above and beyond everything else. Number two. It
Okay.
takes on average the body about 7 days, give or take, to really ramp up antibody production. So let's just say that you have a nasty little virus or bug that has decided it's going to live inside of your body. Well, it takes about 7 days to really get the antibody production back up to full speed. So another way of saying this, or if I say it in reverse, if you have a cold that lasts beyond 7 days, that means your thymus gland is really, really underperforming on the antibody production.
Okay.
Or if somebody told me, I'll use somebody else as the example. You get a case of shingles, it clears up and goes away. It comes back the next month. That clears up, you take drugs, it goes away, comes back again. All that points toward, and I'm not trying to make a panacea, but the thymus gland. So one of my recommendations to you, and I hope I don't gross you out by saying this, but I don't have a problem with it.
All right.
The thymus extract. Usually they get it from a calf.
Okay.
I don't know if they offer them as a sacrifice, on an altar in Israel, but the thymus gland, they get it from a calf.
Okay.
So thymus, it's a glandular. Or if you want to call them thymus proteins, take a lot of them. If you want your immune system to rise to the occasion, the last time I checked, women like a word is called closure. They like things to be resolved and completed, right?
Yes, exactly.
Do you think my wife wants me just to sort of halfway mop the kitchen floor and scrub it today?
Not at all.
She's probably going to stand over me with a shotgun, making sure I scrub every last bit of it.
Every bit, yes.
And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look over and say, "Is this good enough, sweetheart? Did I do it right?" But you need thymus extract, and of course, there are probably two nutrients. I'm going to put three in the mix, but there's two nutrients that just come into play over and over again when the thymus gland is underperforming, meaning you're not getting over an infection as quick as possible. I would have to say zinc would probably be the number one mineral to think of. You know what you could do just as a very simple experiment? You could go to the store today and you could buy a roll of zinc lozenges. Let me think, what do they cost? $1.32. So it's not like they're expensive, and all you have to do is just suck on them.
Right.
Suck on them and let those zinc ions seed your thymus and your throat and everything else. And so you could do that, but zinc is one of the main players. Vitamin C is another one. I would say I do not have what I would call tremendously great results by using synthetically created vitamin C, and for the most part, I'd say 99% of all vitamin C that's sold is made from high fructose corn syrup, where they chemically react it with sulfuric acid, and they force it into ascorbic acid, which that is not the same thing that you find in oranges or apples or lemons or limes.
Sure.
You know what I have on my list in front of me to go do when I leave here in a little bit?
What's that?
I'm going to go buy limes and lemons.
Limes and lemons.
Because sometimes I like to squeeze them in water.
Oh, I do too.
I just love it. Anyway, but that would be a real source of vitamin C. So you've got zinc. The other thing that I would look into, and this is just me talking, so there is so much information about the use concerning a fat-soluble vitamin called vitamin D.
Okay.
Vitamin D has been shown to be sometimes a whole lot more effective than even vaccines for pneumonia and the flu.
Great.
Because what it does is it drastically bolsters immune responses. Now, I don't have the study in front of me, but I want to say 10 years ago, they gave people, when I say people, it wasn't a lot, maybe 54 individuals. So that's called a small study. So a lot of times when there's a small study, everybody just poo-poos it and says, are you kidding? We need 7 billion people to make sure it's accurate. I never worry about that. If there's a very positive outcome, but the ones that took a substantial amount of vitamin D3, they scarcely, rarely, never even got the flu as compared to probably everybody that didn't get vitamin D got it. So I'll let you be the judge of what you want to do, but vitamin D3 or cholecalciferol is one of the ways that we can, you know, change the outcome of what you're dealing with.
All right. Thank you. I will get started right away.
You want more information?
No, that's enough for me to get going, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Is that all you want?
That's it.
Good. Well, you're one happy woman. Tell your husband that he'll probably have to sleep in the backyard for a few days. It's called the washout phase. We're going to get all his wicked germs away from you so you can heal.
Well, he has it too, so we're going to do that.
No. He needs to be quarantined into the TB tent in the backyard.
Well, I do sleep with my mouth open, so that's not helping my throat at all.
And that's a big deal right there. So does your husband have any duct tape in the garage?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm not going to tell you the rest of it.
Don't tell him.
you know what I would probably do if it were me? I would get a steam kettle or a tea kettle.
Right.
And I like the way that the throat or the spout points outward. Give yourself a steam breathing treatment before you go to bed just to break up any crusty gunk.
Oh, great. Okay.
I did not say snot on the radio.
Okay.
Rats,
you tricked
me into saying it. All right.
Okay.
I hope that helps a lot.
Yes, thank you so
You're
much,
welcome.
Dr. Morgan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. If you want to join me on the radio, maybe you have a question about something that you're struggling with or dealing with. Well, you're going to find out real quick that I'm extremely biased. I am very biased toward natural remedies, whether they be herbal, vitamin, mineral. There are times that homeopathy can work wonders unlike anything else. Dietary, anything to help improve your body that doesn't kill you. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning, sir.
We have been listening to your program for years. Matter of fact, my wife starts out every Saturday morning lying in bed taking notes and usually gets a page full, so we appreciate your work.
So you do not find that offensive?
No, sir.
Okay, I didn't know.
I usually lay there with her.
I was going to say, a lot of husbands call and complain saying that's their only time they get to snuggle with their wife, but she's too busy taking notes, and so they try to blame me for all that, and just wanted to make sure we were friends.
Well, We are, and I wanted to talk about my health. I've been, I'm 70 years old, been very healthy overall. I played tennis and basketball with high school boys until I've had to slow my routine down the last 2 years because of hip replacement. I guess I wore it out, but this last summer, we go to Lifeline screening on a regular basis every other year anyway, and Lifeline screening was alarmed because my heart rate was low. It was down around 40, resting heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after that, I started noticing angina when I was exercising, swimming, or...
Well, did they tell you what that means when your heart rate's around 40? That's usually a sign. See, what you'll do, just have you ever heard of a pulse oximeter? It's just a device that measures oxygen at the tip of your finger.
Well, I got an app on my phone that measures my heart rate. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I was just talking about your oxygen saturation. But, and all I was going to say... you can buy them for $20 off eBay. I mean, they're cheap. It's called a pulse oximeter. And all I was going to say is, let's just agree that 100% oxygen saturation, that's ideal. So if you told me your oxygen levels dropped to 89 when your heart rate was at 40, I would say, okay, what does this mean? There's got to be some source of inflammation. Something is severely weakening the heart. But the way that my mind is, I want to find out if your heart rate's 40, that's what you would see when your heart is getting weaker. So you've got me perked up. My ears are pointing forward, and I've got my eyes focused on you. So we have to find a strategy to strengthen you.
Okay. I should explain, Doctor, a couple of weeks ago I was down in Houston with a pastor friend, and he had one of those things you were talking about. And I was always showing 99%. Up in the high 90s with my oxygen, now that I remember that.
Okay, good.
And I have VA support, so I went to the VA and they connected me with the cardiologist, and he wanted to do a heart cath. And I said, well, I've read a lot about natural ways, and I wanted to beat this naturally. I want to start with a stress test. So I took the VA gave me a nuclear stress test, and they said, EKG, I've had about 5 EKGs now, and they all say perfectly normal. My blood pressure is perfectly normal, they tell me. But the VA is also saying that you better check on the possible plaque buildup and have a heart cath. Well, you and
I both have
articles out there about overcoming these things naturally, and so I've been trying to follow some of the things I've been reading, and you know, you're familiar with Pritikin and Ornish, and those. Now, what I've run into is
I'm not fans of either one of those, by the way. Not in the least.
Okay, well, there's a lot of conflicting things between them and modern versions. I listened to your program about the healthy fats. But
well, I've seen several documentaries where they took people that had weak hearts and they just completely died nonetheless. You cannot do the Ornish program. If you can try, what are you going to do? You're going to do 90% protein and carbohydrates, and you're just going to do 10% fat. It's just going to be impossible. Can't be done. Nobody can do it. Plus, it's not healthy. If I asked you, and I'll just kind of cut to the chase, what is the heart's favorite source of fuel? I'm going to treat your heart like it's a combustion engine. So when you drove to Houston either to meet your pastor friend or to drive down there with him, didn't you all have an engine or a motor in your vehicle? So what does a motor need? It needs fuel, which is high-quality gasoline, and it's got to have oxygen. So what is the favorite source of fuel, the only fuel your heart wants to be fed? It's fat. That's its prime source of energy. It burns very clean. So if you try doing the Pritikin diet or the Dean Ornish diet, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have low energy.
Well,
I'm being very straightforward. That's one of the reasons why when the dominant source of energy for the heart is when you feed the heart fat, it operates easily 40% more efficiently. If Dr. Dean Ornish could find some magic pill or drug that could increase the efficiency of the heart by 40%, It would be the top-selling drug in the world right now, but that doesn't exist. It's called fat.
Okay, now what would you recommend to, if say I got a fair buildup of plaque in my right carotid artery, and I don't want a heart cath, so I want to a very strict diet.
What was the last thing you said about a strict diet? I didn't hear what you said.
I would like to get on a very strict diet that would clear up that plaque so I would not have to have a stent put in there.
Well, let me ask you this. When you ask your physician, why is there plaque in the right carotid artery, what do they tell you?
Let me
just make sure I'm correct about this. When they have measured your left carotid artery, it's clear. Is that correct?
Well, when you say measured...
I'm assuming if you say there's plaque in the right carotid, you've had some type of imaging test. If it's one of those lifeline tests or they have that test now, just a calcium test. And I think, what does Mother Francis charge for it? $49 to do? But it's probably one of the most extremely accurate tests that I know of that can measure calcification or plaque. I mean, it's just like spot on every time.
Okay. So I need to do that. But say I have a buildup in one of those arteries, which apparently my heart seems to be starving for oxygen when I start walking fast or something.
Well, let me back up and please understand, I'm just doing my best to oversimplify this. We're not trying to have the most complex scientific conversation of all time, because I would probably get distracted and chase rabbit trails if I started doing that. So if we have significant plaque buildup in your right carotid artery, let's just assume a couple of three things. Number one, maybe in your left carotid artery, there's not quite so much plaque buildup. So we might say, why is the left artery in better working order than the right artery? And so what I would say is, there is a mechanism by which your body goes through, no matter who you are. You're going to form plaque when your body's trying to repair or correct something. I mean, for all I know, you may have a very low-grade inflammation because of a bad tooth or a root canal. But you may counter and say, I've never had a root canal.
That's right.
Well, I would look at the condition of your teeth. If I saw receding gums, I would think that maybe there's a low-grade infection that's probably because of that. But to try to answer your question, if you want to reverse that, we have to change the circumstances. And so let me tell you about one study that was done, and I know it's going to sound kind of weird, but let me at least break it down for you. You know how when somebody is at the end of their life, they may do a will, but they may decide that they want to donate their body to science for medical testing and purposes. And that's fine by me if a person wants to do that. And let's just say that the Southwestern Medical School in Dallas, Texas needs people so their students can be trained by doing autopsies or doing cadaver dissection. I know that sounds horrible for a Saturday morning, but you know what? That's how people learn about human anatomy. I mean, I had to do that. I didn't say it was my favorite thing, but the very first day of school, here you are. This is the human anatomy dissection lab. Get to it. I'm going, great, I don't like this, but I did it. But anyway, what they've done is, the moment a person passes away, they can harvest organs, or they could harvest arteries. And one of the studies that I read really, really impressed me. What they did was they took carotid arteries from people that just passed away, and they put them in a laboratory setting where they could keep those arteries alive. Are you with me on that?
Right.
And so as long as they keep them in a fluid of medium that has, you know, delicious oxygen and all the nutrients that the arteries like to consume for fuel, and they change the fluids, meaning they keep it. Have you ever had it like a cat? You're going to keep the litter box clean, aren't you?
Right.
They found out that the number one factor that triggers calcification and plaque buildup in the arteries is if they did one thing to those arteries. All they did was inject insulin. And so if you told me what is the fastest possible way to cause plaque buildup in the right carotid artery, besides an infection, I would say it's going to have insulin levels higher than what you'd like. there's a substance called insulin growth factor 1. You don't want that to be high, because when that's high, you have a heck of a lot more cancer. It just wears the heart out. It's exhausting. So too much insulin and too much adrenaline will do that almost every single time. So if you followed the Ornish program, what do you think that's going to be based on? Is it going to be based on very, very low fat?
I'm very open to any
But I'm asking you. You said Ornish and Pritikin. What does that diet mean to you?
It's very low fat, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the problem is, you see, when you consume fat as fuel, it does not require one drop of insulin, so that's a win right there. I know this is going to sound nutty, but at least let me say this. How many times have you heard a veterinarian say, I'm going to have to put your cow down, sir, because the carotid artery is full of plaque? I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Right.
Do you know what the cows... This is not a trick question. It may sound like a trick question. What is a cow's main source of energy? 92% of all its fuel it burns is from one source. I'm going to give you a guess. Protein, fat, or carbohydrates?
Well, a cow eats grass all the time, so I don't know if there's much fat in that, I guess.
Well, no, but you're on. I like the way that you're thinking, though, but here's what happens. A cow has a vastly different digestive tract and gut than what we do. You'd agree, right?
Right.
I would not like to look in the mirror tomorrow morning and look at my gut and say, hey, I'm looking like a Hereford today. That wouldn't be good. I don't want one that big. But what they do is they have, let's just say, four stomachs. If I get that wrong, somebody correct me. I'm correctable. I'm teachable. But they have all these stomachs and they have a huge gut, and the purpose of that gut is to provide enough space for all the bacteria in their gut, because they ferment it and they convert it all into fat. All the grass, all the hay, everything they eat is converted into fat. So why is it that cows can live? Because they can only have fat for fuel. The rest of it's protein. Fat! Even a cow's on the highest fat diet of all time.
Right.
A mountain gorilla, very, very powerful. I seriously doubt there's a man named Tarzan that could swing out of the trees like a monkey can and face a mountain gorilla and defeat him in a wrestling match. That is not going to happen. A mountain gorilla could pretty much toss me across the room without even thinking about it, and I'm at 200 pounds. But to make a long story short, they eat young, tender shoots because their body ferments them into fat. They're on a high-fat diet. That's how all animals stay very, very lean. So if you do the Pritikin diet, your body is not going to do a good job. Here's what will happen is your body will convert the excess sugar and carbohydrates into fat, but it's going to be called triglycerides. And so if you go for a lab test, there's several things you can look for. You can say, what are my triglyceride levels? And I'd say if they're 50 to 60, then you're probably eating pretty well. Do you know what your numbers are?
Yeah, I think it is. The triglycerides and the blood tests I've had, which is last summer, was the most recent, and they've all been in order. The only thing that's gone up in the last year is my total cholesterol has gone from 175 normally to about 210.
Well, but that's normal, because cholesterol is the greatest repair molecule of all time. I may be the only one that says that, but that's the purpose of cholesterol. It's repairing damage to your arteries. So if you take a drug to block that, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to have repairs.
Yeah.
So when God, and I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm just trying to sell you on a point here. When God designed mother's breast milk, it's exactly 54% pure fat. It's extremely high in cholesterol. It may be higher in cholesterol than anything that you're going to eat for the rest of your life. But that's for the purpose of repairing and growing a healthy, beautiful baby's body. So when the heart is weak, I think about fat. So this morning before I came on the air, I read an article from Great Britain saying people, they looked at blood values on different factors that would show the heart is stressed or inflamed or weak. And they said that the paleo diet was very successful in improving heart function over an 8-week period. So that's one option that you have right there.
You'd recommend I get on the paleo diet, which is
You know what I really wish? In my fantasy world, I would know everything that says on your blood test, and I would know everything about you, because It may be that there's a few glitches that you don't even know about, and no one's ever going to tell you unless you actually go see a doctor where they can examine you. But if I were to examine you, I would look for areas of weakness. I know historically, stress hormones, there's nothing that destroys the heart like stress hormones do. Nothing. And I'm not trying to ask you over the radio if you're stressed or not, but it may surprise you. You may have higher levels of adrenaline or cortisol than what you realize. So what's it like when you go to bed at night? How long does it take to fall asleep?
It doesn't take much to fall asleep.
Well, how about staying asleep? When do you wake up for the first time, wide awake?
Oh, I usually wake up to go to the bathroom about three times a night. So usually,
well, that's there's an issue right there. We're getting excessive. Well, that's just not in your best interest to get up three times a night to urinate.
No.
So you might look into a paleo diet. Yes, take a look at it. Tell me what you think. Get on one of the news feeds on your smartphone with the app and look up all the articles and you can read for yourself. I read it this morning. It's a brand new news story about the paleo diet being good to help strengthen the heart. But when your heart rate goes from, say, 60 to 40 beats a minute and you're not Lance Armstrong, then I would say most likely that's a sign that your heart is becoming weak. And so you're looking at how do I go about strengthening that? Well, the heart needs fat, and that's why I told you about fat. So if you look at things like medium-chain triglycerides and short-chain fatty acids, and you look at things like macadamia nut oil and coconut milk, and you look at things like organic butter and low-starch diets, then I think that you're in business. But that's going to be exactly the polar opposite of the Ornish program and the Pritikin diet.
Okay, what I'll do this next week is get an updated blood test and then bring that, make an appointment with
Can I ask you, since you're going to do that, why don't you go ahead and do this right here? Do you have a pencil handy?
Sure. My wife's writing right now.
Oh, good. She's the, she's your secretary, right?
Right.
I want you to measure this. There's several things I want you to measure. One is called homocysteine, H-O-M-O, C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E, I think. Is it I before E except after C? So if I've met, it's called homocysteine. I need to see that below 7. If that's up around 13, we got some serious problems we're going to have to address. Number next. There is a form of cholesterol called VLDL that stands for very low density lipoprotein. Dr. Linus Pauling over and over again would just tell people that when VLDL gets above 21, then what you're doing is you're forming plaque at a faster rate than what your body can remove it. That kind of that might be important to you. And the other one is called lipoprotein A, and that's just capital L, small p, and usually right beside the small p, in parentheses, they put the letter A. And I know I'm kind of cutting to the chase, but that is that wicked form of LDL cholesterol that you want to measure. And so when that gets to a certain level, well, then we probably want to take, pretty good attention, pay attention to that. If they want to do the other one, it's called insulin-like growth factor. That's called IGF-1. That's a very, very powerful predictor if someone's headed toward cancer or heart problems.
Okay.
So you've got those. I'd like to know.
All the other things you normally get, I can include those.
Yeah, but you know, if it were me, I would want them to do kidney function, liver function. I'd like to do a CBC with a differential. I think there's more to the story than what you realize. So at least if you've got those things, you've got something to really look at, and this is a way of improving yourself, which is exactly what you want to do, and I love that.
Yeah, okay. That sounds excellent. That would be a good start.
And which, please don't think that I'm trying to be negative on the Pritikin diet or the Ornish plan. I've just never seen a human being that has a strong enough force of will where they can just feel like they're starving all the time and do it.
Yeah.
If you want to waste away into nothingness, well, then you can, but I don't want you to.
Yeah.
I want you to have energy. And remember, fat burns clean when it's good fat.
Okay, well, what about cod liver oil and fish oil? That's okay?
Yeah, you betcha. I love them.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if you look at the research, a significant number of people die of strokes. And when people get fish oil or cod liver oil, they have a greatly reduced risk of that. So that tells me something.
Oh, okay. Okay, cayenne pepper, why don't I take that also?
Mm-hmm. But to hear, what we got to do is we got to dig a little bit deeper. See, if you have an issue that's going on inside of you, you can, I mean, now this is just me repeating what I saw yesterday. I had a wonderful lady sitting in front of me, 58 years of age. She's taking every perfect supplement on the face of the earth. I mean, I couldn't compliment her enough. I'm saying, look at what you're doing. But I know one thing. It wasn't fixing her problem. And it wasn't addressing the reason why she had that. And, of course, what I'm trying to tell people is, you can take all the supplements you want. They do not cover your diet, especially if you're consuming something that's generating an autoimmune reaction or causing a weakness. And so there's power with knowledge. Or there can be, anyway. So, I mean, the woman yesterday, she may hold the world record this year for taking the most high-quality supplements I've ever seen before. But it wasn't addressing her problem.
No.
I told her it's fine with me if she stops all of them for a couple of weeks just to see what happens.
Okay.
She's probably spending about $4,000 a month, I'm guessing. I'm just joking. I don't really know that.
Okay,
You got your work cut out for you, but at a heart rate of 40, your heart is getting weak, and, you know, if that keeps going on, they're going to say, maybe we should get a pacemaker going on you.
Yeah.
You don't want a pacemaker, do you?
No, sir. I don't want any invasion of my body.
So here's what we're going to say. You can be better. You can heal. You can do much better than you're doing now. You just need knowledge and information and precision. It doesn't do me any good to waste my time or energy working on the 1% of stuff.
Right.
We don't want to major in minors. We need to find out what is the main deal that you need to address and work on. Then we can just flesh it all out.
All right.
Okay, good
deal. Well, blessings to you, and have a good New Year.
Hey, thanks a bunch. Blessings to you, and Happy New Year to you and your wife also.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Bye. Give your secretary a kiss for me. I'm just joking. There are a couple of supplements you do think of, though. One would be called IP6 and vitamin K2 that help remove plaque. I haven't given out the phone number. Sorry about that. Please forgive me. The number is 903-586-5257. You know, maybe my encouragement to you, I'm talking to myself also here. I'm not saying I'm looking in the mirror because there's no mirror in front of me. There's a control board with graphs and computer stuff. That's not my concern. As long as we're on, I know how to do that, the basic stuff. But I tell you, you need to have your mindset like Flint that you can do better. You can take better care of yourself. You can learn more. You can find out where the weak link in the chain is, and you can address that. You got to turn the radio off. Did you get the radio off now?
Yeah, I got it off.
Okay, good deal. All right, how can I help you? I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I was here because that information that you just gave that man about the...
Are you on speakerphone? I'm sorry, I completely lost him. When you call in, make sure you do not use the speakerphone at all. There is a transceiver and a receiver on the phone. If you will speak into the part that your mouth goes to, then it'll be easy. But if it's on a speakerphone, I don't know if anybody in the radio audience hears what I hear, but that just completely cuts out, and I miss about every other word, so... Please call right back in and ask your question, 903-586-5257. Just use the phone, though. Pick up the phone and use the phone, not the speakerphone. And turn your radio down if you have your radio on, and that way I don't hear a horrible reverberation. But, okay, you know that by now. The number here is 903-586-5257. There is a phone line open, so if you want to call and ask me a question, please feel free to do so, and I'll get you right in. Here we go. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. It's me again.
All right.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, you must have the phone in your hand, right?
Yes, sir.
Good deal. Yeah, how can I help you?
The information you just gave to that young man about the test for the heart that he needs to do.
Yes.
To tell for about cancer and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Can you give... Can you repeat that information about those tests to do again?
Sure. He would. Now, he called specifically because his heart rate was about 40 beats a minute, and between the VA and maybe the other doctors, they were doing different scans of his heart and stress tests, EKGs. They're trying to determine why his heart rate's so low, but that's a common sign when the heart becomes weaker or stressed. So the test that I recommend, there's one called lipoprotein A, and usually on a
lipoprotein A.
Yeah, but usually on a lab test, it's just capital L,
small p,
and then a small a in parenthesis right next to it.
Small a in parenthesis.
Mm-hmm. The other one is called homocysteine. Yeah, that's just one. And I think the other one I told him, a form of cholesterol, and I think I mentioned to him on the phone that when this form of cholesterol hits 21 or above, that is when you see plaque forming at a higher rate than what you want. Because,
right.
you know what healing is? Healing is if you have an injury to the lining of your artery and your body puts plaque there just momentarily until it's healed, kind of like a scab on your arm. Can you see my shin bone through the radio right now?
No, I can't.
Well, would you believe that I have a scab on my shin bone because my four-year-old son kicked me with his boots? He thought it was full combat time, and I wasn't looking, and he smacked me so hard. And then he looks at me, and he goes, "Dad, you got that bloody scab on your leg." I'm going, "Yeah, because you kicked me." But anyway, just like you might have an injury to the outside, you'll get a scab. That's what the plaque represents, is there's like that's an internal scab. And so if you get the form of cholesterol called V as in Victor, L as in Larry, D as in David, but it's VLDL.
VLDL.
That stands for very low density lipoprotein, but that's a form of cholesterol that's just super easy to test. But if they measure that, I want that to be well below 21, because if it's 21 or above, I'm thinking, okay, now I know why we've got plaque in the arteries. You know the reason why you're calling me, don't you? Is because you want to live, and you want to be productive, and you want to have a good life, and you don't want to spend every available dollar that you make on your job going from doctor to doctor and spending your money on health care, do you?
No, and that was the next question I was going to get from you. Is there a phone number we can call when we want to set up an appointment to your office?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in Jacksonville. My office number is 903.
586-8114. 8114. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we will set up an appointment because my wife also have another issue. She's been having some pains in her back by her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to come see you about that because sometimes it goes away and then sometimes it comes back. But
right.
Recently it's back again. And we went to chiropractors and had a chiropractor pop her and stuff like that. And it goes away for a little bit. But it always seems to come back.
Well, and that tells me there may be another issue that's not... I mean, you could have horrible swelling in your neck, and if you get an adjustment, good. But I want the pain to go away. But if it keeps coming back with a vengeance, there's probably a deeper issue underneath somewhere.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a good idea.
Look into it deeper.
Good.
So, what do your hours look like?
Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Imagine that. I actually had them memorized after 30 years. Maybe I'm starting to get the hang of it.
Well, doctor, you're doing good work so far.
Well, you're very kind. I appreciate you. I wish you and your wife the best. Just think, 2017 is going to be your year to excel.
Oh, that's what we intend to do.
Good. We're going to aim for the benchmark of excellence, buddy.
All right, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, there's a phone line open, and we've got plenty of time. 7 minutes, 50 seconds. 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you today?
Hello, Dr. Mo. Hey, I talked to a lady the other day. She said that she's got a four-year-old little girl that's having really bad ear infections, and I told her to listen to the show and try to get a hold of you. I don't know,
No, I'll tell her. I'll be the first to tell her just very easily. If I walked in the house and I had a 4-year old walk up to me and I looked at the left ear and it was as red as a beet. I mean, have you ever seen like a child go out in the snow before where their ears get red?
Oh, yeah.
But it's not normal to have just one ear get red at normal temperatures. I would think, man, they're fixing to get an ear infection. And so if the kid starts to rub it or they get cranky, I'm thinking, man, they got an ear infection. I'm only telling you what I would do. This is not my recommendation to anybody else. But number one, I would take a solution of half white distilled vinegar and half alcohol, and I would apply that to the ear. As long as there's not a hole in the ear or a tube, we're good to go. But the maybe one of the main problems that I see, dairy allergies.
Oh, yeah.
So she can give the kid all the antibiotics in the world, but if she's got her on lots of dairy products, all I can say is good luck getting over that one.
Well, she said that it went from one ear to the other, and the doctors want to give her a bunch of some kind of liquid strong antibiotics.
Yeah, amoxicillin.
Yeah, and she doesn't want to go that route, but...
Well, and, there's some things in some people that just cause a tremendous amount of mucus and gunk to build up, and that is just one of them. So in some kids, when they get too much milk or sugar, they're going to have an ear infection every single time.
Okay.
I am qualified to know that.
Yes, sir. I'll tell her. You said half white vinegar and...
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
So if you had just an empty bottle that has like one of those squeeze bulbs and a dropper tube in it,
right.
If you just put a teaspoon of white distilled vinegar and a teaspoon of alcohol in it, shake it up and just put that in the ear.
Okay.
But you know, and I've heard rumors before that an ear candle will take care of an ear infection. I realize every pediatrician listening is rolling their eyes saying that is pure quackery, but... You know what? I really tend to believe what people tell me. I don't think I'm that gullible either. If a mother tells me, Dr. Morgan, you are not going to believe this. I put distilled vinegar and alcohol in their ear. The pain went away in 15 seconds. And then when I candled her ear, she said all the fluid went away and she could hear properly again. I believe all that. Am I just a sucker? I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
anyway,
but
it works.
I think it's a... milk allergy or dairy allergy?
Yeah, because, I mean, that can cause just even a low-grade inflammation in the eustachian tube can cause all that back pressure and gunk. I'm not trying to be gross, but it's going to come out that way. But if you said, you know what, if I could just blow my nose and get this gunk out of me, I would be able to breathe in my nose or through my nose, and you blow your nose and this big chunk of green stuff comes out, what are you going to do? You're going to say, hallelujah, it's about time this stuff, but all of a sudden you start breathing well.
Right.
But a dairy allergy will cause that eustachian tube to basically swell shut, and then you get all that snotty, gunky, gooey back pressure, and it's like ripe breeding grounds for bacteria because it can't drain.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll treat better.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You could tell that was a real man that just called because he cares about little children. I'm not saying you're not a real man if you don't care about children, but, okay, yes, I am. I am saying that. All right. I'm looking at the, what does it say here on this? All right, I've got about a minute to go. Good morning. You have maybe a minute. Sorry about that. I had nothing to do with it.
That's okay, Dr. Mark. My only question was the guy that had the 40 beats per minute heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't it be that he's just really fit? He talked about being playing basketball all the time, and sometimes folks that are really fit, they'll have a low heart rate because of the stroke volume is so much higher than the average person. Is that possible?
He told me he had plaque in the right carotid artery, and he told me he had a hip replacement.
Yeah.
And he told me he wasn't able to do physically like he was able to do. So
yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, yes, theoretically what you're saying is possible. If your name is Lance Armstrong, then that may be relevant, but in his case, I'm going to be suspicious that this is a sign that the heart is weakening. Now, if I'm wrong, no harm done, because my goal is to strengthen him.
Right, I understand.
Yeah, but yeah. I appreciate your statement, though.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. It's been a pleasure being with you today. You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3.